In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Peter and Andrew left their net and followed Jesus when Jesus said to them, "Come after me, I will make you fishers of men." James and John also left their boat and their father and followed him when they were called. Notice it is in the future tense that Jesus said, "I will make you fishers of men." When did he make them fishers of men? Going through the whole Gospel of Matthew, we observe that first in chapter 10, when Jesus sent the 12 into the lost sheep of the house of Israel, it was a temporary mission and with a limited scope. Then at the end of the Gospel, the 11, including these four men, were made fishers of men as Jesus sent them to all the Gentiles to make disciples by baptizing, teaching. Until that time, Jesus continued to instruct them as he accompanied them with his teaching, preaching, and healing. How fitting is our text for our seminary community, especially for those who are studying for the holy ministry? You came to the seminary by giving up your jobs. Many of you left your family to come here. And you are not boasting about your level of dedication by saying, "I have surrendered more to the Lord than those who want to stay at home and still want to become pastors." You don't qualify yourselves from before the Lord or compare yourself with your classmates. You know that someday, in not so distant future, the Lord willing, you will be made a fisher of men. You do not claim that you have the right to become the fisher of men because of your knowledge, skills, piety, or a passion that you have gained. Jesus says he will make you a fisher of men. Only what our Lord does is most certain and sure. Yet after ordination, there may be a time when you regret that you have been put into the office of the holy ministry. Your congregation is not growing as it should. Your members are not loving and caring for each other as they should. All my efforts and labors seem to be in vain. Or there may be a controversy in your congregation so that you must feel like quitting the ministry. As faithful as you are in the ministry, still in the congregation under your care, a division and hatred toward one another or toward you may emerge. You may become a target of personal attacks. And since no respect for you or pastoral office is left among the members, you may begin to grow weak, both physically and spiritually. Recently, I was reminded of a story of Isaac's blessings on Jacob in Genesis. He laid his hands on the wrong person, not on Esau, but on Jacob. When Esau found out about his father having blessed his younger brother, he became furious and pleaded his father to reconsider. But Isaac's reaction was not of Esau's liking. Esau stood firm with what he did. The blessings that he gave to Jacob, he could not take away from him. Now, I am not suggesting that when you feel like quitting the ministry in the future, if that happens, it is because you are the wrong person to get ordained in the first place. But what we can learn from this incident is that when our Lord blesses you with his words, he is committed himself to his words and promise. You don't undo your baptism or ordination by your deceitful actions or thoughts. Our Lord is committed with what he did. Isn't this a comforting thought? Just as the Lord does not leave you with any doubt that the salvation is yours in your baptism, so the Lord will not leave you with any doubt about your ordination. They both take place passively. Luther, in his Genesis lectures, therefore, teaches baptism, holy absolution, the Lord's Supper, and ordination in connection with this story of Isaac's blessings. Then he says, the laying on of hands is not a human tradition, but it is God who makes and ordains ministers. Nor is it the pastor who absolves you, but the mouth and the hand of the minister is the mouth and the hand of God. Jesus is committed himself to his words. This morning, we see this in action once again, as Jesus speaks his words of testament and bestowed on you his body to eat and his blood to drink. Here is the gate of heaven, where the approach to the kingdom of heaven that Jesus preached in our text is open for you. Just as Jesus came to the four men, not they to him, so it is Jesus who comes to you with his body and blood. Direct your step to the place where the Lord's words resound, and the body and blood are given out. Who can adequately marvel at or comprehend this heavenly life? Come and see that the Lord is good. Repent and receive the forgiveness from your Lord, for his kingdom has come. Then rejoice in serving out such great gift from the Lord to his holy people. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.